episode 27 of Caithness Craft Collective. The blather is about Mr. Nosy and all things nosy. We have the craft fairy and the Scottish segment. I also have my roving reporter Rachel with an interview from the Skybees knitting company Shallisdare, which is very good. I have the news and the hellos, and I'll let you know what the collective have been up to. I'll let you have all the links in the show notes that come with the place that you download this from, so relax and get the links later. Now get your cup of tea, your craft, and I'll tell you about crackers and Caithness this week.
Now for the blather.
The blather. Nosy. Here's my resident Mr. Mine expert to tell you all about Mr. Nosy.
Mr. Nosy has a long nose and he's green. And he's got a big smile. He likes to stick his nose in other people's business. He learned his lesson in the end.
Mr. Nosy likes to stick his big, green, long nose to see what everybody is doing in the Mr. Nosy books. The town folk teach him a lesson by painting, clothes pegging and almost hammering his nose until he learns not to stick his nose in to other people's business. Then they make friends with him. I think he just wants to be friends but just didn't have the knowledge of how to do it. The definition of nosy is adjective, given to prying into the affairs of others, snoopy, prying and inquisitive. I wonder if that's why Snoopy's got such a big nose. I think that humans are nosy creatures, some more than others, and knowing when not to constantly put your nose in other people's business is a trait well worth learning. In small towns and close-knit communities, it really is the norm. The gossiping wifeys get their messages, stop and have a gas. They talk about the weather and then if there's anything happening in their area. Och, did you hear about yon Jacek? Well, she ran away with Postie. Jacek? Who's Jacek? And which Postie? Och, you know Jacek. She's the sister of Chenny for Sibster. Her man's got the garage, you know. Is her mother Morag? No, yes, you know, Jacek. She's the one that stood up the county show and created a long fuss with the WRIB against Dad. Does she have brown hair? No, that's not her. You do know her, though. Her father's Chimmy, and he cut the grass for the council for years and used to knock around with Leaky Chordy. Obviously, names have all been changed, and I've just completely made that up. And thus it goes on. Caithness gossip and makes me laugh. It always goes along the lines of, yes, you do know them, and even if you don't, you will know their entire life's history by the time the story is done. The messages are in the basket and you're on your way home. I know you'll be laughing at this, Finarder. Finding out stuff about stuff is better than finding out stuff about people, really. Being nosy about new things, say about knitting, can be a good thing. I like to know what the new trends are, even though I'm no trendy. It's nice to see what the hip and trendy are wearing. Last year it was Aran jumpers, and Alice Starmore made a welcome reappearance. I would like to do her Elevan for me and a properman's fisherman's Gansey for hubby. In a while, maybe a few years' time. Doing a new technique is good for your mind too. It gets your creative juices flowing and the want to create is constantly renewed. How boring would it be if we only did granny squares and crochet, we never learned how to make an anagrammy, or how dull would it have been if Debbie Stoller didn't insist that we stitched and bitched about knitting? The song this week is Nosy Parker by Bull Moose Jackson. It's 40s rhythm and blues, and it reminded me of the blues song where they go, na 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 na, I had me a sore head, na 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 na, my dog is dead, na 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 na, I fell in a well, na 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 na, my life has gone to pot, for want of not swearing. So how's about a knitting one? I dropped a stitch, na 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 na, then I fell in a ditch, na 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 na, my knitting is ruined, na 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 na, and I can't sing a tune, na 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 na. Okay, I will admit to being nosy in the fact that I like to see what other people have in their fridge. No, I don't rush into people's houses and look in their fridges before you panic and clean yours. I like to see what inspiration I can get for new dishes for cooking, and sometimes, if you're at someone's house and you know them well enough, and you're making tea and, hey, you happen to be standing closer to the fridge than they are, it is polite to offer to put the milk back for them. And you get a wee quick look in their fridge. Sarah knows I've done this. And she often lets me into her larder. She's got this larder and it's just wonderful. Everything's in it and it's just, well, ask her for a picture. And look, they bought that new yoghurt and they have a jar of that very nice chutney. But then you can ask them, is that nice yoghurt? I've seen it advertised. You get a recommendation before you go buy it or you avoid it. And I will freely admit to looking at all your projects on Ravelry and having the webcam into all your houses and looking over your shoulder as you're knitting. In my head. As most of you will have gathered, I'm not a very accomplished knitter yet. Note the yet. And all of you that have an actual project pictures in Ravelry can now be smoking the fact that I'm not anywhere near your level of expertise. But I get a lot of inspiration from you all, and I often find some amazing patterns to tempt me. For instance, the R2-D2 hat that my mum knitted for Sandy's birthday. That was from one of you. I have not as yet listed all my projects that I have ever knitted or crocheted, so my list is incomplete, and I apologise for this. Some of this is laziness, some of it sheer frustration at the speed of my broadband connection, which stops me from uploading things like photos. I really, really, really do enjoy looking at everybody's projects, and I think this is the best bit of Ravelry for me. I also like seeing when you're putting them onto my group, so please carry on doing that. Do you drive or get the bus the same way to work every day, or go past a road that you've never ever been down and you would like to know where it goes, or see a shop that looks nice but you've never stopped? Wait, I've got a wee challenge for you this week. Get off the bus and go down that road, or into that shop, and report back. Sometimes you'd be disappointed, but you never know unless you go, and there might, just might, be a craft shop at the end of that road. Mr. Nosy is green. I would say bottle green kind of colour. I like lime green best out of all the colour wheel of greens. And I was thinking the other day that there are a few shades of green that I'm not all that keen on, like snot colour or some olive colour. Mind you, it depends on what the colour is on or with. And then I thought, are there any other shades of other colours I don't like? But I like all blues and all reds. But from yellow, there are some I don't care for. And jobby brown, no thank you. But green is a good colour for a lot of things. It means the environment. Things that grow generally can be green. The ocean is green, and that leads me on to work stuff. Marine renewables. See that shoehorn link? That's me, that's my business. And we have now got two new members of staff. And hooray, this means I can take a step back from all the stuff I was struggling with. Get my teeth into other parts of the business. I've been forgetting to say that I've been sponsored by my own business, www.energyhunt.com. So, big up my business. Meaning by a sponsorship, as in its microphone and its laptop, and, well, I suppose its time as well. I read that there was the artist James Hart Dyke was commissioned as an artist in residence in the MI6, which is the British Intelligence Agency, which deals with international affairs. Through his work, we learn that the head of MI6 writes in green ink. I've put a link to this story, and his art is quite interesting, along with the explanations that he has beside them. I reckon that you'd have to be pretty good at being nosy, but not looking like you're being nosy to be an MI6 agent. Not a job I'd be any good at. I'd leave James Bond to that. Yish, mish, money penny. Speaking of green things, my Wicked Witch of the West swap has arrived from Darlene Dampart, and it was lovely to open this package. She sent me a crocheted green dolly, which Daisy has claimed and has disappeared into her bedroom. And there was also a crocheted winged monkey, which Sandy claimed and it now lives in his bed. There was a selection of candy, jelly belly beans, teas and coffees, and some ranch-style dressing packets. And the best bit was a big pile of Kool-Aid sachets. She's not yet received my package, but as it was sent surface mail, it'll probably take a few more weeks. And I think she will be delighted when she gets it. I certainly would be. We were going to have me as the interview for this episode, as I've admitted that I can be nosy. But as we've got a different interview, it's slightly more interesting, and I have to say that I learnt my lesson when I was little, because I like to touch everything and nose into the things when I was little, and I was pretty nosy. And my dad used to comment on this, and he wrapped up a box with a note inside just saying touchy touchy, left it on the kitchen table. So on came me. It's interesting, wonder what's in there. Opened up, touchy touchy, and thought, oh, okay. So I think I learned to be not quite so nosy after that. And I think that the conclusion to the nosy blather is not to be nosy. Be curious, but not be nosy. Learn where that line is and don't cross it. Okay, moving on. Warning, if you need a pee stop, then come back after, because it's time for the Daisy Laugh. Now we have the Craft Chamber of Commerce. Remember I said I was plotting with Rachel last time, who is Knitting Kitten 04 to you? Well, she said that she was going to the Island of Skye for her holiday last week, and I asked if she was going to the hallowed grounds of Shalasdair knitting shop, and she said, ooh, yes. And she said, as it was the winter, that the shop was closed, but if you give them a ring or an email, they're happy to open the shop up. And she said, well, I suppose I feel like I have to buy something if they go to all that trouble. And I looked at her and I says, well, get me £30 worth of something for a shawl or socks or something nice, and I'm sure you'll find it hard not to want to buy from the shop. It was a look of, what, and you're not actually going to buy wool from the shop that you love? Yeah, right. You see, this here shop was the reason that our Rachel knits. She visited years ago and discovered this Aladdin's Cave of Yardie Goodness, and it set her on the road to crafting wonderfulness, and then on to Ravelry and joined our group, and, well, the rest, as they say, is history. I then wondered out loud if Rachel could ask the Shalasdeer to do an interview for this here podcast, and she said, get this, well, I have a wee recording device, do you want me to do it? So, as you'll hear in a wee moment, I said yes please, and she is actually a very good interviewer, much better than me, and I have to say she is now the official Caithness Craft Collective reporter. She doesn't know that yet, but you do now if you're listening, Rachel. So here's the interview.
Actually been living here for just over 3 years. So I've actually been coming up here for getting on for 20 years every year before that, because I just love Skye so much. It's so beautiful and it's where I wanted to be. So as soon as I retired in inverted commas, that is, I was able to sell my house in Bristol and build a house up here and move up. So you bought Shillister. I did. I bought Shillister getting on for 3 years ago. It was established in the mid-1990s by Eva Lambert, who is the dyer. And at that time, she had a very small shop in the tiny bar that you can see just across there. And she did absolutely everything. She kept the sheep, she dyed the wool, she designed the jumpers. She made some of the jumpers, although she did have other knitters as well, and she sold the jumpers. But since then, the business has just grown and grown and grown, so now it's in two parts. So Eva continues to do all the dyeing, all the natural dyeing, using only natural ingredients, and I bought the shop from her. So I'm responsible for the knitting and the designing and dealing with customers, things like that.
So was knitting something that you were interested in before you bought Shillister?
Yeah, I mean, I was born into a family of knitters. My grandmother used to knit examples that were shown in a shop window in Dunmow, which is in Essex. And I remember her doing the most delicate baby shawls and baby clothes and all sorts of things when I was small. And my mother knitted, I mean, when I was a child, I'm in my mid-60s now, when I was a child, the commercially available garments were too expensive, so your parents made all your clothes, they either knitted them or sewed them. So I was brought up with my mother knitting everything, and I think she must have taught me to knit at a very early age. I can't say I knitted consistently from the age of 4 to 66, but certainly it's been, I've got garments in my wardrobe that sort of date from various periods, various interim periods from then.
So has running Shillister changed your experience of knitting?
I do more of it, that's true. I think I've grown to be a more confident knitter. Okay. Previously, I used to have a pattern in front of me and follow it religiously, and I now realise that it's much easier actually to go off-piste, as it were, and sort of add your own touches, make your own designs, and there is so much help out there now with websites like Ravelry. I'm always telling customers when they come in, if they're not certain about what things mean, to look on YouTube, because you can actually see examples of people doing particular stitches or designs. And so I think you can be much more adventurous now, and I think it's much more exciting now in a way, more creative. So I probably do enjoy it more, even though, you know, sometimes if I've got a deadline, I've got to get something knitted very quickly, I'm sort of thinking, oh, you know, I'd rather be out in the garden or whatever. But no, it has changed, yeah, it has changed my perception. But, I mean, for me, having this shop is like owning a sweetie shop. You know, I don't have to come in and be a customer and buy things and take them away. I can come in every day and fondle them and touch them and just like being around them, really.
Have you got a favourite yarn?
Oh gosh, that's a difficult question. I think it varies, actually. I love knitting with double knitting because it knits up quite quickly, and the double knitting that we stock is so soft and just slides off the needles, really easy to knit with. I'm not too keen on the modern yarns that have silvery bits and hairy bits and bobbly bits. I'm a bit of a traditionalist in that sense. I like my yarn to be just ordinary yarn. But the Shimmersdale yarn, again, because it's all naturally dyed, has a lot of variegation in each skein. So when you knit, it comes out, you know, it's not a flat colour. So that's beautiful to knit with too.
And how have you found island life? What's it like living in the sky?
It suits me. I love it. I was born in Hertfordshire in a small town, and over the years I've lived in London and I've lived in Bristol and I've lived near Dundee, all of which are quite big cities. And obviously I'd had to work for a living and I'd spent a large amount of my time in cars travelling back and forwards to places. I mean, it has its downsides, you know. In the winter here it was very, very icy and snowy for a period of time, and I couldn't actually get out of, well, I couldn't take my car out of my drive and up the hill. So you do have to plan ahead to live in a place like this and make sure you've got plenty of milk and bread and things like that, basic things to keep you going. But I love also the sense of community that there is here, and people support each other, they look out for each other. There's, like any community, there are always disagreements and rivalries, but it just feels more healthy. It feels like how life ought to be. Maybe that's idealistic, but I mean, I've been here long enough, I think, to know, you know, it's not just a dream, it does happen.
So has it lived up to your expectations, living on Skye and running a yarn shop?
More than, absolutely. I am supposed to be retired, and I think I work harder in the summer here than I have ever worked in my life, because the shop is open 7 days a week. I'm not in it 7 days a week, but I still have to make sure I've got stock and enough change for the till and, you know, various things like that. But I absolutely love it. I mean, I think if you come up to retirement age and you haven't got a purpose in life, that life can become a bit tedious, really, and depressing. I suppose if I had lots of money, I could be off doing cruises and tours and what have you. But I've got enough to live comfortably, and that's all that I want. I mean, the one thing about living where I live, in this particular part of Skye, is that the weather can get extremely wild, and sometimes we have really fierce gales, and that does get a little bit scary sometimes, because you wonder if your roof's going to blow off. But that doesn't happen all that often. So, yeah, no, it's more than lived up to my expectations.
You haven't lost the roof yet?
I'm touching wood as I speak to you. No, but I know people who have.
Where does the yarn come from, the wool that's dyed by Eva?
It comes from a variety of places. The Arran weight wool, the merino wool, the green that you had, comes from the borders of Scotland, either the borders or the east coast, actually, because merino's fleece is so thick they don't survive very well on the west coast of Scotland. All the sheep that you see around here are really for eating. Their yarn is not really suitable for spinning or stitching, because it's too coarse. But the other yarns, the double knit and the four ply and the baby camel, things like that, are blended. Part of it's Scottish merino lamb's wool, but part of it's is imported from China. So that's actually spun together to our specification. But then it comes up here, Eva dyes it. She uses only natural ingredients. Do you want me to tell you a little bit about those?
Yes, yeah. Love you.
Mainly plant materials. The only colour that you can't get from plants now is red. Red, right. You get from insects. Mm-hmm. So it's either cochineal beetle, which comes from the Canary Islands, or something called lac, which is from the Far East, which is another sort of insect byproduct, whatever that might mean. You used to be able to get purpley reds and pinks from lichen, but lichens are protected now, and you're not allowed to collect them.
Oh.
I think if you were going to do a little bit of dyeing in your own kitchen, nobody would mind, but the quantities that we produce, that just would not be acceptable. We'd damage the ecology if we started picking them. The other colours, indigo is a fermented leaf that comes from India, and up until sort of Victorian times, it used to be fermented with human urine. it's now a chemical that they use to ferment it with, I'm glad to say it. Purples come from a tree in Central America, which is called logwood. And that's a great find, because previously purples would come from shellfish and, it's called lady's bed straw, a plant with a root. And they were so rare that they were only the very, very higher echelons of society could afford to have purple in their garments. Mm-hmm. So logwood has changed that, fortunately. Orange. Orange is madder root, which comes from Turkey. So everything is either chopped up or made into powder, mm-hmm. and then put in the dyeing equipment and brought into contact with the yarn. The yarn has to be mordanted first. That means that's sort of a fixative that allows the dye to penetrate. And the greens that we have is a two-stage process. We use local plants, mainly meadow sweet or tansy, which you can collect from the hedgerows. So then we dye yellow first and we put indigo on the top of that to make green.
Is there any one colour that's more popular that sells quicker?
Greens seem to be very popular, yes. I think because you can get such a range of greens, you can have sort of limey greens and yellowy greens, or much more bluey greens and pale greens and dark greens. No, greens are very, very popular. But, things go in fashions, and, this year I think it's supposed to be rusts and rusty colours, so we'll see, The other thing I would say about having a shop like this is you get to meet extremely interesting people, because most of the people who make the journey all the way up to the far northwest of Waternish are really interested in wool or spinning or dyeing, and they come literally from all over the world. I've had people, I would say, from every single continent in the shop, so it's absolutely, you never know who's going to walk in the door next. Really fascinating.
Okay, thank you very much.
Okay, I decree that it is now knitting law that you all have to go and look up Shalisdare online. Their web address is www.shalisdare-yarns.co.uk. Well, it's not law that you have to buy something, but I bet you want to. God, you know you do. Because I'm very happy to say that I've got two skeins of the Scottish Merino in the purple colourway from the logwood that she described. I didn't know that about the lichen. Well, I did know lichen was protected, but as I don't really do an awful lot of natural dyeing, I hadn't actually put two and two together that it would apply to me. So, point taken there. Anyway, if you do find yourself not knowing where to go for your holidays this year, you could plan a visit into Shalisdare, which is situated on the top left of the Island of Skye. Tell Judy that Rachel sent you and enjoy yourself. Thank you very much to Judy for this interview, and thank you to Rachel for doing it for me. Skye is a beautiful island. Really an absolutely truly spectacular scenery. It really does Scotland justice. They obviously get rain and midges, but go prepared and you will love it, and you'll go back time and time again. I went with my mum and my dad when I was little, a few times, and I have some happy memories of Portree, and I've been since over the years. And of course there is now a bridge connecting Skye to the mainland, and you get to sing this as you go over.
Speed bunny board like a bird on the wing, onward the sailors cry. Carry the lad that's born to be king over the sea to sky.
Oh, couldn't I resist. So, the craft fairy segment.
Craft fairy.
Well, the craft fairy was out in her nest last weekend. She or he, whichever your craft fairy is, delivered loads of crafty goodness to the Glasgow ACCC last weekend for me to buy. Bye. And I bought some card making stuff. Mum got some pro markers, Nessie Craft. Did you enjoy yourself? I got some buttons, some charms in the style of a Singer sewing machine, and these were presents for my textile artist group. I got some sea-related ones for hubby's birthday card. I got a few daisy ones for... well, you know that one. And this was just in the card making hall. We went out and we had lunch and a lovely coffee, and people watched and looked at people's scarves. And then we went into the textile hall of much yarny textile-y and crafty goodness. I was in heaven. We went in, the first stand was Nordic Needlecraft from Inverness. The only thing was I was absolutely desperate for a comfort break, so I said to Mum, well, I'll come back and meet you here, and I rushed up the aisle to the facilities, and I realised, oh, look, there's this, and look, there's that, and I realised how many lovely stalls there were. Our normal plan is just to make our way round slowly and buying as we go, but then I thought, well, let's go round and then go back and buy. And this is mainly that I saw the possum yarn stand as I rushed past. I messaged Rachel to see if she wanted some, and yes, she did. So around Mum and I went, and we found the Under the Sea exhibit, which was fantastic. What a lot of work the organising committee have done in this. If you get the chance to see this, you simply have to. We sort of were at the exit side of the tunnel that you walk through, and we were looking at quilts on the other side being exhibited on the other side, and nearly every single person that came out of it was smiling. Isn't that a lovely gift to make people smile? And using knitting and crocheting. There were oodles of fish and jellyfish, seaweed, shells, crabs, lobsters, seahorses. And there was Bruce the big shark. Guy Bruce. There was a fisherman wearing a Guernsey that Martin from I Make in Guernsey would have been proud of. And he had a massive brown lobster on his knee. I'm saying, never seen a brown lobster before. Husband said, I have. And I thought, how much do I know? But the fisherman's creel had lobsters and crabs escaping, so he obviously needed to do a bit of mending on his creel. Also, there was a turtle, and it was a kind of Loch Ness monster's head as well, and it was made by some school children. And the best one I remember was a wee teddy sitting eating an ice cream on the beach, and this had been made by a 100-year-old lady. And we all said that we wish we can still knit if we make it to 100 years of age. There were a visitor's book to sign, and I signed my entry as a thank you for raising money in a wonderful way for the RNLI from a fisherman's wife. It's a service that you never hope to need to use, but are very grateful that they exist to the generosity of the British public, because they're only funded by their charity work and not by the government. Anyway, that was the Under the Sea exhibit. There was also the Undoing the Corset exhibit, and my mum said, oh, my mum had a pink one like that. And the old lady beside her said, so did I. That made me laugh. There was the Singing 60s exhibit of quilting and textile art. Mum loved that one, and what took Mum's interest was there was one, and it was a sort of a rectangle, mounted perspex rectangle, and it had words from phrases from the 60s which had been machine embroidered over dissolving fabric. Right, and she must have listened to my textile technique. But by the way, I haven't forgotten the textile technique. I've just not done anything new for a while, and not managed to shoehorn anything in because all of the recent episodes have been quite long. But I will come back to them quite soon. Also, there was an exhibit by the Quilters Guild, and of course they were stupendous. My favourite one was a daisy chain, and then there was a comical one of three ladies pressing their noses up against a fabric shop with sail reflected in their spectacles. And then there was the Learn to Knit or Crochet stand, which had been organised by the UKHandKnitting.com, and this was very busy with people wanting to know how to knit the Ricoh Can-Can tape yarn, which was absolutely sailing a storm in the Black Sheep stand. And I never actually dove into it, but everybody went and picked up the beautiful Noro Silk Garden packet, but it was, although it was a good price, it was still £50, so a lot of people just put it down again. I did think of Nick from Yarns for the Plane, as I didn't jump in, but I think I've taken loads of photographs, and they will be on Flickr very soon so that you can sort of walk through with me and see what I was talking about from the show. Right, where were we? Beside the knit and crochet stand, there was a demonstration area, and I saw Rachel Powell giving a demonstration on how to use a hand spindle. And I've toyed with this before before I got my wheel, but I've never actually mastered it. So I watched her, and it's not that hard. Everybody that was doing it had faces of, can't do this, can you do this? But I remember that face of when I was learning to spin, so yes, we can do it. And it's the whole enjoyment of actually doing it as well that people were needing to understand. We missed the fashion show, but we were lost in fabric haven by this point. There was at least four stands with quilting material. Then we went back and we bought some possum wool. This is from Jamie Possum, and this is based in Kilbarchan in Renfrewshire, and I've got their website linked in the show notes. It's www.jamiepossum.com, and I got Rachel, my Rachel, three skeins of biscuit coloured in an aran weight. And I got one skein in a blue variegated purple in DK weight, because she had a pair of gloves, and they were very much like my Wicked Witch of the West mitts, and that they were so soft and so warm. Me and the lady beside us decided that we had to simply have this. And the lady that served us was lovely, and it's a very nice person, and that's got capital letters on it. She took the time to chat, and she showed me her Denise set of interchangeable needles. And I had said, oh, I've never seen them in the flesh before. How are they on par with the knit pros? So she gave me a wee demonstration, and she knew that I wasn't going to buy them because I said that straight away. But she was very generous with her time, and I love the wool that I've got. So then went round and I found Rachel Powell's hand spinner stand, and it was being manned by her mother. And she explained that Rachel was not long finished her degree and was starting out in business. She had her garments that she'd made for her degree on show, and they were hand-dyed with natural ingredients such as beetroot and marigolds. And she had some kits made up and a hand spindle with some fleece and some instructions, which I bought. I have a lot of empathy for her starting out in business, and I wish her well. Her mum is a great salesperson, and she was just so lovely. She could tell she was trying to do the best for her daughter, which I wrote down in the wee card for her. So, one to watch, I reckon. I bought other bits and pieces. I got a spinning wheel charm for my bag. Well, it's my mobile phone, but I don't have mobile phone charms because they just fall off. I got some quilted needles and a kit for making a quilted Christmas Santa hanging. And yes, I know it's 9 months away, but well, I am a beginner and it'll probably take me that long. So it'll be good to get ready for Christmas. And it says all you need to add is a thread. Now, my final purchase was a stand specifically for textile artists from www.colourcraftlimited.com. And I was just in heaven. I didn't know what to buy. There was so much choice. And they had the Markle crayons that I lost after. They had acid and they had Procyon and they had silk dyes. And I bought an acid dye kit, which was very good value because there was 5 pots of different colours for £13. That was us done with the ACCC, and we rushed out to get to the centre of town to meet Giffnet Girl, whom I may call Ella. You can still call her Giffnet Girl. Well, I'm sure if you knew her, you could call her Ella too. And we met her at John Lewis at the craft department, which is handily beside the cafe overlooking Socky Hall Street. And my goodness, do they have really good double glazing, because below us on the steps into the music hall were a group of women, and they were all banging drums, and you could see them but you couldn't hear them. And as soon as you went out of Buchanan Galleries, we were met by this enormous wall of noise. So they've got really good double glazing in there. Anyway, we met in there, and to say that we talked at 76 miles per hour, I said 100 but she corrected me to 76 all the time, was a complete understatement. You are a lovely person, Ella, and I'm so pleased and thankful that we met up. I was wandering around with a neon yellow Scottish Power Renewable bag and wearing purple, and I gave her one of these bags. She gave me a couple of sweeties for the bairns and some handmade shortbread for Mum and a wee knitted penguin who is now called Peso. She belongs to a Ravelry group called British Banter, and their thing is penguins. He's now sitting in my bedroom and I smile when I see him, remembering the lovely time we had. I also bought some kid silk haze in a very light blue and some Noro sock yarn. Ella helped me with that. And then we went via a couple of shops to Wagamama's and then back to the hotel in Edinburgh, which was very nice, by the way. Even used the gym. We did go to IKEA and we had a wonderful weekend. We listened to an audio book called Lost Souls by Neil White that I borrowed from the library on the journey down and back. And we didn't finish it. So I burnt the last couple of discs onto the computer and then had them on MP3, and it was a murder mystery. And I guessed who the baddie was just before it was kind of announced, but I stupidly managed to listen to disc 12 before disc 11. And it was at the point where they were just about to get him, but it didn't. I was like, how did they know that he was there? And it wasn't until I was completely finished the book before I thought, wait a minute, there's another disc. Duh. So that was me being a gawk. I have another gout story in a second. So it was a wonderful weekend, very, very tiring and slightly skint, but very, very good. And I got birthday kibbers on the Sunday morning. Thank you for the birthday messages too from everybody. But my other gout story is the spring kind of sprung. Lisa Lynn, we now have 2 snowdrops, but the daffs are on their way. And I decided that I would put on my short leggings, and it was warm enough. So found these leggings in the cupboard, put them on, thought, I think these have shrunk. Don't remember, they're a bit flary at the bottom of the knee. Oh well, I can't remember buying these. And I thought, I must look at the label to see where I got them from. So I looked at the label. aged 5 to 6, they were Sandy's pyjama trousers. Which in a way is quite good, but in another way it was like, I'm wearing my son's trousers. Yeah, what a gout. A gout is a Caithness word for dafty, by the way. You'll often hear me say this. Okay, and sending the warmest of get well wishes again to Susan from Knit a Journey podcast. I'm sorry I missed your last episode, but I am still thinking about you and yarn salad. See, get over that flu, will ya? Right. Also, on a serious note, I am sending love and best wishes and prayers to the Japanese listeners and anyone who has been affected by this awful, terrible disaster this week. I watched in horror and I looked at the sea today and asked how it could be so cruel. Life is precious. And I just, how do you come back from that? But I am sending my prayers for what little help it does. Hello, section. We've been joined by Panama, and I might have mentioned Chile and the United Nations of Crafting. So get your hats on because we're going up the canal. Hello to Fat Cat, Gardening Witch, Ivy Fox, Scrappy Doo. I really have to go Scrappy Dabby Doo. And Helga and Michael, whom have joined the group in Ravelry. I love the chat and your project pages. And again, I'm always dancing with the little messages. Helga hails from Switzerland. So hello, Switzerland. Hello to the new Twitters. Tweet me and I'll say hello and tweet you back. Especially the cheek. I like the cheek.
What's the crack section?
What's a crack section? Drive-by friending. Now, I tried drive-by friending a few people, but nobody accepted. Mel and Money reported back that the person that she drive-by friended didn't accept random people. She had then sent her a message to say why she had drive-by friended her because they share the same birthday. And now they are friends. But I remember when Yarnsald first drive-by friended me and I thought, who's she? Looked her up. She explained that she was trying it as an experiment as well as a social networking site and it worked. Now, I don't think of anything when people ask to be my mates. It's been matey, isn't it? Also, I have a little news from our friend Ursa, who has gayest colours over in British Columbia. I've mentioned her a few times this year and I hope that you've all bought something from her shop. Well, it's sad and it's good news. Sad for us that she has decided to close her shop due to the time commitment that it was requiring, and she was struggling with this and raising her boys at the same time. Now, I understand this, so I see it as being good news for her in the fact that she'll enjoy her hobby of yarny goodness, but not at the cost of missing out and raising her boys. And that's a brave decision for her, but I think it was the right one for her. It's sad for us because I've had a few samples from her shop and they are divine. She's having a bit of a clear-out sale just now, and if you want to go on there, that would be good. I've been on and ordered up 2 bats of spinning fibre called Kelpie, and a Kelpie is a supernatural water horse of Celtic folklore, and it's believed to haunt the rivers and lochs of Scotland and Ireland. I thought it was the most appropriate one. It was really difficult choosing, and this was with the last of my birthday money. I felt a bit guilty about buying it when she's having an end sale, but then I am helping her by helping tidy up at the end. Lots of ends and helps here. Plus, it's not to say that you couldn't start up again when your boys are grown up anymore. But they don't stay small for long, and as the poem says, hush down the dust as babies don't keep. I would like to talk about the Mother Bear Project. Acanthus, who hails from Duluth, Minnesota, sent me a message to ask if I would highlight the Mother Bear Project. Now, for those of you that don't know Mother Bear is, please go to www.motherbearproject.org for a full rundown, but in a nutshell, it is where knitters or crocheters make a teddy bear and donate it to children in emerging nations who have been affected by AIDS or HIV. Now, can you remember being little and loving your teddy bears? Well, I look around my house and I still have my bear. Hubby still has his. My bairns have their special bears. For the comfort the bears give them, I completely recommend this project. And I know that Dr. Gemma from Cognitive Podcast in America has bigged it up along with other podcasters. So, obviously, now it's my turn. Acanthus has requested from my listeners if they would help out. She thought maybe the postage to Minneapolis has put us off and has suggested that because she's coming to London on the 9th to 17th of April, she would be willing to take some back from us. So I replied on our behalf and of course I said yes. Can't deny a child a bear now, can I? So you need the pattern and you can get this from the Mother Bear Project website, but I note that they will be posted, emailed. So this isn't going to be on time for the 9th of April. Obviously you can do that as well and then send it back to Minneapolis, but for Acanthus' timescale, this is what I propose we do. Now, I've made one of these bears before, but not for Mother Bear Project, but for Teddies for Tragedy. and this gives bears to children all around the world who need them, such as natural disasters, like Japan, where they're left with absolutely nothing. And all around the UK, local yarn shops hold these patterns and they have collection points, and Elizabeth's in Thurso is one of them. You can get them online, and from what I see, they are the same pattern as Mother Bear. So UK people can get this pattern instantly and start knitting up a bear. I've put the link up, but it's www.teddiesfortragedy.org. And I have a link for this pattern there. There is also a crochet version, obviously. And what I propose is that we use this year pattern and get Acanthus a bear or two to take back stateside. The Mother Bear Project requests a £5 donation, which you get the pattern, a wee heart and label to sew into your bear, and it helps with the postage to wherever they're going to. And the heart, the label, lets the child know that this bear is made with love and that somebody does care for them. If you would like to donate directly to them, then you can by PayPal. I don't really think it's fair on Acanthus to have to fuss around with donations from us other than the bears, especially there's funny custom laws for taking extra cash, etc. Mainly, the bear is the star here, the labels are extras. Bears don't really care about labels, they care about bears. And I'll tell you a wee secret, I hated knitting this bear, I did. But he was cool when he was finished. Just make sure that the bear is well sewn up, and I mean well sewn up. It specifically states on the Teddies for Tragedy that they would be rejected if they weren't, because they bring given to bairns, and although they may be poor, they still deserve the best we can do. Plus, you want this bear to last so that we can cuddle and give comfort for as long as it's needed. So, knit and crochet strong love into each stitch and sew up well. To recap, this is a bear for a wee bairn, and with not much except in need of comfort. And Acanthus will transport our bears from the UK to Minneapolis posting point. And it's nice to do at least one thing for other in the knitting year. Dr. Gemma said you could make one in a day, but not me, Doctor. I'll take at least a week. But I will do it for the love of a child, and I hope you can help with this. If you can't help with making a bear, maybe donate what you can. Certainly, the Teddies for Tragedy I would recommend at any other time of the year. So if you'd like to donate a bear to Acanthus Mother Bear campaign via me, please message and I'll put you in touch with her so you'll know where to send it. It's going to be a London address because she's on her travels. And then she'll take them back. So big up the blog section. Now, I'm rather partial to Moonstitch's blog. She is Alexandra and is a German who's based in Japan. And thankfully she has posted that she is okay after the earthquake. And she says that she can't decide if she's a quilter or a photographer or a knitter. Her thing is owls. And she has a really nice collection of hand-sewn ones along with a tutorial to make them if you feel the need. I like owls. Not obsessively, but I like her style and her photography is beautiful. She captures objects and people wonderfully. And she's at www.moonstitches.typepad.com. Carry on putting on your website addresses onto the Big Up the Blog thread on Caithness Craft Collective Ravelry group so everyone can access yours. If you sell stuff, all the better. So, to the Scottish segment.
Scottish segment.
Malcolm II this time. He came to be the first King of Scotland in 1005. And he was the last in the line of Alpine of Kenneth MacAlpine fame. He was a bit of a baddie and he killed his two predecessors to get to the throne. And he was succeeded by his grandson through his daughter rather than through a son, which was new. This gave William Shakespeare the basis of Macbeth. I've never seen, read or understood Macbeth, the play that may not be repeated or mentioned. Mention it repeated because I've never understood that. So thespians are now shaking their heads. But hey-ho. So apparently this Duncan the First was called the Gracious Duncan, but he was another baddie and not the gracious one that Shakespeare depicted. And his cousin Macbeth killed him in battle to take the throne and he ruled for 17 years. And it says he was not an ingracious soul and he went on to pilgrimage to Rome and he gave money to the poor there. He was killed by Duncan's son Malcolm at Lumphanan at west of Aberdeen. This Malcolm III had to dispose of Lulach, which was Macbeth's stepson, who had been elected king. And I'll go into Malcolm III next time, because again, he was complicated. I think it's a Malcolm thing, and I'm just doing a wee snippet at a time, so I hope you don't mind, but we might remember them all that way. And I've got lots of pages to go in this history of Scotland, so make yourself comfortable, because we'll be here for a while. Right, on to me show, textile artists. They had been busy making stamps last week and they carried on making stamps. But Celia had put together something very interesting. She'd been gifted an old tablecloth that had lace edging, and it wasn't really worth doing much with other than cutting it up and painting it. So she cut it into sort of like a laptop kind of size piece. She painted it with, it's G-E-S-S-O, and I don't know if you say it Gesso, Gesso, or whatever, but that, it's like a primer. And then she put Procyon dyes on and hand embroidered over it. It was really pretty and very interesting, and the painted lace gave it a lot of texture. She said that the primer made it stiff, but it did make it hard to sew through, and it might have been better being machine embroidered. Also, she thought that it could have been acrylic painted rather than the Procyon dyed. It was worth doing for an interesting piece, because I laughed the way she said, so what are you going to do with it? She says, well, I'm going to do this, that, the next thing, maybe put some beads on it, do a bit of a hand embroidery, machine embroidery, and then probably put it in a drawer, as you do. Anyway, I was trying to needle felt a flower for one of Sandy's homework reading bags. Miss Honey's hat had a flower missing, and they had asked me to make a new flower for Miss Honey's hat, and it needed Velcro on the back, so I ended up not needle felting one. I resorted to cutting up a patterned material using Bondo Wave, a stiffener to attach the Velcro. But I had a pretty daisy, and it's been sent out to the lucky competition winner. And the Mr. Tickle and Mr. Greedy material has been posted today, along with the card and some handmade envelopes. I then resorted to making Hubby's birthday card, which was actually a birthday picture in a frame from IKEA. I had a piece of yellow snow-dyed wadding that I couch-stitched some green and blue embroidered threads on, and then the sea theme charms of an anchor and a fish. And I've got another frame to put last year's needle felt picture of our boat that sat on the mantelpiece for a year, near enough. And these two should match up and can be put on the wall where they belong, and not in a drawer where my other stuff often sits. Vimto Craft Group. Now, I didn't make Vimto or spinning with being away and stuff, but I'm told that they were both fine. Lots of talking done, some knitting done, some eating of cake. And we were thinking of doing a soap making night and also a lip balm making night. And I've been inspired by iMake's podcast tutorials. I heart Charles, who helps her with these. I keep them in my pocket and take them out to make me smile. Just sound such a happy person. Anyway, making these soaps and lip balms for myself has never really appealed, because I don't want to have to buy lots of stuff to make lots of lip balm that would take forever to use. But to do it as a group effort would be really nice. I've also been knitting myself. I started Hubby's Not For Christmas Nor Birthday Brioche Hat by Wendy Easton. I managed the two colours tubular cast on with actual ease. I was surprised. The instructions could have done with a picture, just to confirm that I was doing it correctly, but I liked this cast on method once my fingers knew what they were doing. And as for the stitch, well, you do one row at a time in each colour, and the actual slip one yarn over purl two together is not actually that hard so far. I may yet have to pull it all out, but that will be when I actually count the stitches, which I have not done since the cast on row. Yes, I know you're all looking at me sideways. Stop it, because I'm not looking back. If it turns out okay, I won't, but if I do find I've made a mistake, I will have to start again. Oh well. And that's me. Right, thank you very much for listening. I do appreciate it. If you would like to contact me, please do so on Ravelry as Louise G. Hunt, or Stitching Fingers as Louise Hunt, or kathinscraftcollective@gmail.com, or leave a comment on the Podbean webpage. You can get me on iTunes or on www.kathinscraftcollective.podbean.com. I'm on Twitter as kathinscraft, and I'm also on Knitty as kathinscraft. And all the links are on the show notes, so go there to click anything you want more information on. And this week, the music is Caledonia by Caledon X from www.musicalley.com. Cheers for listening, and keep on crafting. Caledonia, you're calling me. Now I'm gone.